John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. Colossians 2:6-7. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Colossians 2:6-7. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Colossians 2:6-7. Psalm 139:17-18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Psalm 139:17-18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of the... If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Psalm 139:17-18. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon the magnificent eternal Word of God. What a privilege it is for you and me to be here today, to be in fellowship with our Lord and to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. That's our reason for our attendance today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. This is a magnificent chapter. We began it last Sunday, as you remember, and we continue our study in this wonderful chapter, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be reading today the first 13 verses of the chapter, and I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to pay very close attention to the words that are found here. This is a magnificent passage of Scripture dealing with the fact that you and I are members of the royal family. We have responsibility as members of the royal family, and so we're going to be analyzing that as we move along today. There are various characteristics of the royal family. We're going to put those on the screen and let you see just for a few moments after we have our prayer, and we're going to be aware of the fact that these words are magnificently powerful in this fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. May we pray together first, and then we'll begin our reading. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity now to work our way through these wonderful words of God. We realize that you've given us this magnificent book, the Word of God. We are thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful for the provisions that you make for us every day. You give to us so many wonderful blessings, and we appreciate your grace and your blessings each and every day. We pray that we may have open minds and open hearts to these truths today, that we will not only receive them, but we will metabolize them and then utilize them. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. On the screen in a few moments, we're going to put Ephesians 4, 3, but I'm going to put these words on the screen for you to see first of all. There are seven characteristics of the royal family presented to us in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. On the screen, you see these seven characteristics of the royal family. The reason I'm doing this is because as I read these 13 verses, I want you to follow along and find these particular words or expressions. seven characteristics of the royal family. One body, Ephesians 4:4. One spirit, Ephesians 4:4. One hope, Ephesians 4:4. One Lord, Ephesians 4:5. One faith, Ephesians 4:5. One baptism, Ephesians 4:5. One God, Ephesians 4:6. You have this on the screen. It is a reminder for you to notice these words as we begin our reading in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of you, or each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature person, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. I'm going to read verse 14 also. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. On the screen, you're going to see now Ephesians 4:3. This is a magnificent verse. It says, being eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's look at this very carefully for a few moments. Being eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So often when you read the Scripture, you can miss so much by just simply reading over it rapidly. That's what we can do with this particular verse. Most of us are aware of the fact that when we read the words being eager, it means to be enthusiastic, be on alert, be watchful, be careful. But we find that this particular verse is taking us into the responsibility that the royal family has and gives to us a lot of information in relationship to the fact that we are members of God's family and God has allowed us to stay on this earth. You and I are still alive, and that means that he has a reason and a purpose for our continuing to exist. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, from an exegetical standpoint. This verse presents the existence of the royal family on the earth and the fact that there is a coat of arms, an escutcheon, a patch of royalty, a shield for each born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm aware of the fact that when I typed that out, I was aware that I was giving you a tremendous amount of information, actually in one long sentence. And so I don't want to move away from this without letting you have time to think with me about it. When you come to Ephesians 4:3, this verse presents the existence of the royal family on the earth and the fact that there is a coat of arms, an escutcheon, a patch of royalty, a shield for each born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you haven't given much thought to this, but as a result of this message today, I think you will give thought to it in the future. And that is that because you are a saved individual as a born-again person, you have what is known as an invisible shield. We call it an escutcheon. We call it a patch of royalty. We have various expressions used, a coat of arms. The thing that I'm trying to do is to throw all of these various words out for you to be able to put some things into your thinking and be aware of the fact that this has been given to you and me as a member of God's family, and it is an invisible bond, an invisible shield, an invisible coat of arms, an invisible escutcheon. On Wednesday night, we're going to be giving a message on the word escutcheon so that we can have a better understanding. But right now, we're just going to present a little glimpse of that emphasis. Though it is invisible, we should be aware of its necessity and contents. As I've said, on Wednesday night, we'll be giving a detailed explanation on the word escutcheon. Many of you are aware of that word and or have a definition in your mind. Some of you may not, and that's okay. This particular verse is presenting to us the emphasis on the invisible shield, the invisible coat of arms, the invisible escutcheon, a patch of royalty that has been given to us as born-again believers. God has given that to every born-again believer. Some of you perhaps now will begin to see something you've never seen before, and that is that as a saved individual, you have been bestowed upon with magnificent blessings related to your escutcheon, your badge of spiritual authority. Though it is invisible, as we have already presented, we must become aware of its necessity and contents. The pastor has the responsibility to provide the spiritual ingredients, and then the believer has the responsibility to make himself, herself, available to receive, to continue the construction, to maintain and enjoy the tranquility and the pleasure and the security and the harmony and the spiritual bliss of daily wearing this magnificent escutcheon. Now, that's another long sentence, wasn't it? I don't know what this pastor's doing here, but he's presenting to you some long sentences that contain a tremendous amount of weight, and I don't want us to miss it. We've already looked at a brief introduction. Now, we're turning attention away from you and turning the attention to the one who's responsible for presenting this information. The pastor is to provide the ingredients. And then the believer is to make himself, herself available to receive, to understand, to maintain, and enjoy the tranquility, the pleasure, the security, the harmony, the spiritual bliss of daily wearing this magnificent escutcheon. Now, you may think that I'm losing it by the fact that I repeated, but I'm not, because I repeated that on purpose. We have today the responsibility of having this escutcheon maintained and advanced. It is our advance badge of identification with the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Now let's look at Ephesians 4:3. Because I've already said that this verse begins to present to us the information of our responsibility to be aware of the fact that we have this escutcheon, and then what to do with what we have from God. Let's notice some beautiful words describing our journey with our escutcheon. If you'll notice, the verse begins, and I'll put this on the screen again, "Be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." A casual reading of this verse will never do it for you, because there's so much found in each particular word in this verse. The first word that you can see is presented now on the screen, "be eager." It is the Greek word spoudazo, S-P-O-U-D-A-Z-O, "be eager," which means to be diligent, to be eager, to be consistently enthusiastic. Now, after you've noticed that, be eager, notice what else comes next. To keep. We stop again on that word. As you can see, and I'll point it out for you, it is magnificently presented to us in this verse of Scripture that you and I are to be diligent, to be eager, to be consistently enthusiastic, to have a desire to understand the purpose that God has given us, this badge of authority, this escutcheon. And you'll notice that the word to keep here is T-E-R-E-O, tereo. And the word in the Greek is the infinitive, which means that every individual must become aware of the fact and have a desire to fulfill God's plan for the utilization of this badge of spiritual authority. To keep, the next word is the unity. The Greek word now is E-N-O-T-E-S. I put it up here in Greek, and I put it up here in English for you to be able to see. The word translated is unity. It is the word E-N-O-T-E-S. There it is in the English. There it is in the Greek. This word presents to us the results of this relationship, which is described as unity or oneness. It is telling us what happens to us when we get to the mountaintop as a believer in Jesus Christ. Mountaintop believers with the Lord and each other. One of the most wonderful things about Grace Bible Church for the last 43 years, now beginning year 44, not only is the fact that we enjoy our relationship to Jesus Christ, but we enjoy our relationship with each other. It is magnificent. It is wonderful. And this has been said to me a number of times. This is my family. This is our family. I feel a part of this family. And that's the way it should be. That's the reason why we're seeing it so beautifully presented here, and the reason for it in Ephesians 4:3. The unity results of this relationship, oneness. When we get to the mountaintop, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there will be a oneness with the Lord and a oneness with each other. And the desire is there and it is constantly being fulfilled. When I came to this point, you notice I typed in capital letters. How is this possible? Well, the next part of the verse tells us how it's possible. It says, the source is the pneumatos, and that's translated spirit. Okay, what does that mean? That means that you and I are the recipients of the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When we're in harmony with the Lord, we have the filling of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that as a result of this, there will be fruits of the Spirit. All I'm trying to do is to spell out to you this morning how magnificent and beautiful this verse is. Notice now that it says, in the bond, perhaps I should put this on the screen again. You've got to see it. It's in the bulletin. Being eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So I stop on the word bond. Look at this word. S-U-N-D-E-S-M-O or M-O-S. And this is the word that is translated bond or belt. It's translated as a holder. It's translated a girdle. It's translated that which unites. It's translated that which binds. Now, you men perhaps put on a belt this morning and you pulled it tight. And it is a binder. What I want you to be able to see is that the escutcheon, the word escutcheon, is this word here, which means a holder, a girdle, that which unites, that which binds, that which holds together. How fantastic and beautiful that is. Now, you're able to see that I'm wanting to preach next Wednesday night's message now, but I'm just trying to let you see how beautiful this verse is, because it tells us that when you were born into God's kingdom, God did a lot of things for you and me, and He gave to us an invisible escutcheon. He gave to us an invisible belt. And there it is right there, a belt. Sundesmos, sundesmo, a holder, a girdle, that which unites, that which binds. What you and I must see is that this was given to us at the point of salvation. And we have the responsibility of understanding what we have, maintaining what we have, utilizing what we have. Because it's been given to us freely with salvation. Then if you'll notice, and we continue this verse for a moment, it says, in the bond of peace. The word peace here is irene. Beautiful Greek word, translated peace. I put it down like this. A spiritual badge. Given to us that we can utilize every single day, and we can share this exciting, enthusiastic blessings with other individuals. We have to understand that God is the source of our blessings. We take a look again at this verse. Be eager. Be enthusiastic, be diligent, be reminded on a moment-by-moment basis of our responsibility to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. As I gave thought to this verse, and as I gave thought to this particular verse, I couldn't help but come to the conclusion that we're members of royalty and that God Himself is the source of that royalty. So I started typing, source of royalty. Point one, God the Holy Spirit is the supernatural cause of our royalty. Most of us here have heard this so many times over the years, that at the point of your trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were regenerated. We use that word time and time again, which simply means that at the point of salvation, God worked a miracle in your life, and you were regenerated. You became the recipient of God the Holy Spirit. You became a recipient of Jesus Christ, I and you and me. We must realize how powerful and wonderful this is. God is the source of our being a member of the royal family. Can you imagine how fantastic it is to realize that we are members of a family called royalty, the royal family of God? He does five things for us at salvation. I put it on the screen for you to see. Regeneration, baptism of the Holy Spirit, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, indwelling of Christ for fellowship, the sealing of the Holy Spirit, and at least one spiritual gift. I don't know whether you're realizing this or not, but I've given you and now giving you again some magnificent things that took place at the time that you believed and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Over the years, we have spent hours presenting information on each one of these subjects. Regeneration, baptism of the Holy Spirit, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, indwelling of Christ for fellowship, the sealing of the Holy Spirit, and at least one spiritual gift. I wish that I could have a few hours with each one of you. Just sit down by your side, give you about four or five sheets of paper and a pen or pencil, and say, I'm going to talk to you, but I want you to talk to me. And as you talk to me, I'm going to let you write what you're saying, abbreviated. I'd like for you, first of all, to just write out your definition of the word regeneration. Am I doing anything to you now? I trust I am. Because I'm trying to let you be aware of the fact that you have received information time and time again over the last years, and these subjects are extremely important. Because we must understand that God is the source of all of these things that we have. God is the source of us being a member of the royal family. If I sat by your side and I ask you to give me a definition, write it out, please. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? Would you be able to write a page or two? If I said then, what does it mean, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? What does the indwelling of the Holy Spirit mean? Could you write out some information about that? If I ask you then, what does it mean when we talk about the indwelling of Christ? And you can probably draw a picture in your mind that you have received from your pastor over the years, and that is a circle and a throne, and Jesus Christ on that throne, and you're in harmony and fellowship. Then you have a picture of Jesus Christ still in the life, of course, but being moved off of that throne. And you get back on that throne, or the old sinful nature gets on that throne. What does that mean? That means that Christ is not at that point of time indwelling you for fellowship. Saved? Yes. Continually saved? Yes. But now, out of harmony. What happens when you're out of harmony? The old sin nature begins to move in your life and controls your thinking and your words and your thoughts and your abilities and your motivations and your activities. You see what I'm saying? And when this takes place, you're doing one of two things, and sometimes it moves from one to the other. You're grieving the Holy Spirit, first of all, and if you're not careful, then you'll be moving to quenching the Holy Spirit. So we've been able to see this over the years. All I'm trying to do right now is just a tiny bit of review. Sealing of the Holy Spirit. One of the most beautiful biblical subjects in the Word of God. And many people do not comprehend, do not understand, and therefore they are frustrated entirely on a day-by-day basis because they have not accepted and they do not understand, they do not comprehend the magnificent teachings of the Word of God on the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Is the preacher getting a little excited about this? Yes, I am. I want you to understand that the reason why there are so many people frustrated and so many people bewildered and confused in life is because they say they're Christians and then they wonder not whether they are able to keep their salvation by their activities of life. And by their activities of life, no one would be able to keep their salvation. God does the keeping because God does the saving. And then the last one, at least one spiritual gift. Well, I have to be careful about this. I may preach too much and not give you all the information I intended to. Number two, God the Holy Spirit is the agent of regeneration. You may want to write this down and let me talk to you about it a little bit. Many people don't comprehend or understand that sentence. God the Holy Spirit is the agent of regeneration. The question that I have for you is, and this will probably help you remember it. If I died of a heart attack in the pulpit, and my body was laid out on the floor up here, and you talk to me. Now I've died. My body is on the floor. You talk to me. Do I answer you? If I'm dead, do I answer you? Is it possible for a dead person to speak, to comprehend, understand, get up, move around? Of course not. We're born physically alive and spiritually dead. Can an unsaved person understand, comprehend spiritual things? Of course not. Now, all of you are thinking, I trust, right now, and you're able to comprehend the fact that the Scripture says that when we're born physically alive, but spiritually dead. Is it possible for a dead person to make a statement to God and invite God to come into his life, her life? Are you thinking with me? Are you able to see this? What you and I must be able to see is the sentence, God the Holy Spirit is the agent of regeneration. The Spirit of God actively and is working actively and is magnificently moving on a day-by-day basis. The Holy Spirit is the agent of regeneration. By faith you're saved in Christ, but how much faith is necessary? What is it that makes you have the initial acceptance faith? Are you able to think with me about this? Are you able to see what I'm driving at? God, the Holy Spirit, is the agent of regeneration. Number three, God our Heavenly Father gives to us at the point of salvation not only regeneration, but a family coat of arms, an invisible royal family escutcheon. Please listen to this because it's very powerful. This escutcheon is described in Ephesians 4, 4, 5, and 6. And it's called in the Greek a sundesmo, or sundesmos as far as the nominative case of the word. The nominative case is the word used as the subject of the sentence. Now, what I want you to be able to see is this escutcheon is described in the verses that we're studying now. And a few moments ago, I gave you this list. In 4, 5, and 6, this escutcheon, this badge, this belt, this girdle is described. It's called one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. We presented this, that the word bond means a holder, a belt, a girdle, that which holds securely, a tightly held identification mark. If you don't get anything else, please understand that when God transformed your life and gave you eternal life, salvation, He also gave you an invisible shield, a belt, a girdle, an escutcheon to hold you securely and to give you joy and peace and contentment on a day-by-day basis. So number 5, as a member of God's royal family, we have the family mark holding us securely. Beginning with the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit in each born-again believer, individual, is the bond of peace. And this family escutcheon cannot be improved. What is so sad is that people have tried and are trying to add to what God has already given us, which is settled and final. People are adding church membership for salvation. People are adding baptism for salvation. People are adding good works for salvation. People are adding all kinds of things and determining their eternal destiny based upon their human abilities. This is that which God has given that cannot be improved. Number 6. This gives harmony. This gives tranquility. This gives peace, joy, happiness. I could spend time on each one of these words, but let's look at it. This verse says, be eager, be diligent to preserve infinitive of purpose, this unity from the Spirit. From whom? From the Spirit. Now notice the last words. We're to live in the light of our position in life as a member of royalty. That's the reason why this verse is so powerful. Be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful today for the challenge that we're receiving from this magnificent verse. We realize that You have done and are doing magnificent things for us. We're the recipients of salvation through Jesus Christ. It's by faith alone in Christ alone that we are in Your family and members of royalty. We realize that there may be those hearing this message today who yet have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. This will be such a wonderful time for them to begin this new year with new life, the life which God alone can give. We realize that Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory, become the God-man, God in the flesh, and go to the cross to bear the sins of the world. We're made aware of the fact that no one else could do that, because for salvation, someone had to be equal with God and man. And that is exactly what happened when Jesus Christ became the God-man. He was equal with God on the one hand and equal with man on the other hand. And we're thankful for that. He was willing to suffer and to bleed and to die for the sins of the world. And we've been made aware of the fact again today that Jesus Christ was willing to give everything that we might be the recipient of these wonderful blessings. When Jesus Christ faced the cross, he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." We see him as he walks and falls on his face in prayer. We see him as he's willing to give himself, even in the light of the fact that there are followers who are not now following, they're asleep. We see Jesus Christ being mistreated physically, being slapped, hair removed, pulled from his face and head, a crown of thorns placed on his head. With all of these things done in the physical realm, even though that was extreme, we realize that there was something far more extreme than that. And that was the dark moments when he was bearing the sins of the world. Those dark moments, excruciating spiritual pain as he gave himself spiritually and physically for our salvation. We pray that there will be those now who will say, "I no longer want to go without Christ. I accept him. I believe in him. I trust him now." And we know that the scripture says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bye.